Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. Hello and welcome to the Wide for the Win Wide Stream. My name is Mark Leslie Lefebvre. I'm going to be your host today, and this is going to be a solo episode. The topic for today's episode is basically sort of marketing tactics and collaboration. It's a combination. So what I'm going to share is something that's very new, very relevant. I'm recording this on October 2nd when I am doing a book launch, a physical book launch with a local brewer as a physical product, because there's also going to be a beer tie-in. And I'm just going to be talking a little bit about that. Maybe it will give you some ideas on how you can find something that connects really well with your products, whether it's a digital product or a physical product. But also a reminder for wide authors, when we think wide, we don't think just about ebooks. We want to think about print books. And most people who read still read print. Ebook readers is a much smaller percent of the entire industry. I know that seems impossible because there's people making millions and millions of dollars off of their ebook sales. But the reality is most readers outside of the indie author community haven't even read an ebook yet, or maybe have only tried it or don't regularly read them. So being wide to me means being open to physical book sales. And physical book sales can involve some really unique and wonderful collaborations with local businesses as well, and not necessarily always local bookstores and libraries, although I am a huge advocate for supporting independent local bookstores as well as supporting your local libraries. But this is an example of a collaboration. Obviously, you'll hear, as the video unrolls, you'll hear collaboration with a local brewery, with another beer place where I happen to be a regular customer, and with several different chain and indie bookstores. So let's just do the thing. We'll do a transition. Transition is going to be like flipping the screen, and then we'll just get started. You ready? One, two, three. I've been writing for 40 years. I actually got my first rejection at the age of 15. Rejection, you say? Well, this was back in the days when there was pretty much only one choice for publishing, and that was to package up, type up your manuscript, mail it to a publisher, and then wait, 6 to 9 months for the rejection to land in the mail. And anyways, I got my very first rejection at the age of 15, about 1984. And that began a long list of lots of rejections, but of course, over time, publications. I started to have my work appear in various small press horror magazines. But it was the early 2000s, and I had so many different stories published in various horror markets, but I did not have a book out. And I was working in the bookstore, and people would come in and say, "You're an author." And I'd say, "Yes." And they'd say, "Well, where can I find your books?" Looking around the store as if they would find the book on the shelves there. And I said, "Well, okay, it is available, but first you have to get in your car and you have to drive an hour to get to the Ontario, New York state border and cross the border. And in Black River, a small village in upstate New York, there is a convenience store connected to a gas station at the main street in that village. And on the rack there, you will find my horror story published in the current issue of insert name of magazine here. But you've got to get there before the end of the month because it'll be off the shelf and then the next magazine will be there." Well, that was frightening. And it was quite a quest for people. So what I did is back in 2004, this was before self-publishing was sort of a viable option. I leveraged print-on-demand technology from Ingram Lightning Source, and this was challenging to get an account. You had to really know what you were doing as a publisher. Now, I'd worked in the book industry for a number of years, so I was quite familiar with that aspect. And I put together a collection of short stories called One Hand Screaming. It's relatively thin. It was about 140 pages, maybe 23 stories, and it was a collection of mostly previously published horror fiction. Now, this book came out 20 years ago, and I thought, with the 20th anniversary, why not do something special? Why not release something to celebrate that I was there almost 10 years before self-publishing became a thing? I mean, it was originally print on demand. I don't think the ebook version of One Hand Screaming, I don't think that came out until 2006 or seven, I believe, was when that was initially published. And that was, Kindle Direct Publishing and Smashwords, which would send it to a whole bunch of the other retailers, as well as be available on the Smashwords store. And so, in anticipation of October 2024, this momentous occasion, 20 years later, I put together One Hand Screaming 20 Haunting Years. Now, I made it more than twice the size of the original. It's almost 400 pages, 380 pages. It has an additional 26 stories and poems, 11 of which have never been published before. Most of the editions have actually been published in various markets in the last 20 years, but I compiled them together, also included some beautiful original artwork, and I'm making this available in partnership with a distributor here in Canada, a small press distributor, which is very exciting because I'm an indie author and doing this all myself. But I'm also working with traditional distribution, which means as of the recording of this, I think there's more than 110 copies on order from various bookstores throughout Ontario, at least that I can tell, and lots of independent bookstores as well as a few chain bookstores. And of course, it's also available to order online. But in addition to celebrating, with this book that's quite a bit thicker, if you actually take a look at the spine, so there's quite a bit more substance inside, including all the original content. All new introductions to each story, as well as in-depth behind-the-scene author notes. But also, to celebrate this, I thought, why not add another one of my favorite things? Two of my favorite things in the entire world are books and beer. So why not do something special? So not only is One Hand Screaming available in October of 2024, but a beer, a special tie-in beer brewed by Counterpoint Brewing, One Hop Screaming, is also going to be made available. And I'm launching the book at Counterpoint Brewing on Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024, alongside the premiere, the launch of the single hop Citra Hop IPA, One Hop Screaming. So one hand screaming and one hop screaming. And now let's take a look at the brewing with me, where I chat a little bit with Graham at Counterpoint Brewing, and we'll get into some of the logistics of making this fine beer. So I'm here at Counterpoint Brewing with Graham. Graham, so excited to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. This collaboration is going to be very fun. Thanks for coming today.
No, thank you so much for being willing to do this. So let's talk about One Hop Screaming. So what's the core recipe? What's going into this?
Okay, so core recipe will be a take on some hazy IPA recipes that we've brewed before. So we're going to include a bunch of Pilsner malt, some flaked oats, and some malted wheat, the main ingredients there. So that will give us good body and a nice base, malty base for the recipe.
Awesome. This is so exciting. And we're gonna be getting to that in just a bit.
Yeah.
But for anyone who's not familiar with Counterpoint Brewing, let's talk a little bit about the brewery. I mean, this was a long time passion of yours, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we've been here for over 5.5 years now. and established 2019 when we opened our doors. And just trying to have some fun with beer, make good beer, and you know, integrate ourselves with the community.
And the community is actually a really important aspect of this brewery. You do so many events here. You do so many things with local. I mean, you've done so many collaborations too with other breweries. You're doing one in October, Oktoberfest one as well.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got a collaboration event with Short Finger Brewing and Twas Now Brewing, which is a nice big fest tent to celebrate the season. And we've collaborated with some local businesses and personalities and breweries as well.
Awesome. Wow. Without further ado, why don't we get going and let's start making some hops scream.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
My yeast brink, it's a corny keg, like an old homebrew keg. Remove the dip tubes and that sort of thing. So it's just essentially just keeps everything in here after I've harvested the yeast from a previous batch of beer. So we can repitch the yeast, keep it cool and dormant, and then warm it up during brew day. And then at the end of the day, it's going in the tank.
Hey, this little toy here was recently installed. It's a handy controller which allows me to set the timer or set the heat to turn on when it needs to. It's really smart. I can set the volume.
Oh wow!
The power element, I can turn on a timer, and then it. So I thought it was actually set up by one of my customers. They're super helpful.
Oh wow!
Ed
cool.
is a great guy and an automation specialist. So once in a while, he comes in and improves the system. All right. So water. We've got hot water in the HLT or the hot liquor tank, and we're going to be pumping it through these hoses into the mash tun.
Just noticing, obviously it's hot water as you see steam coming up from the tank here as the water enters in.
Our mash tun is up to level now. All the water we need is in there for the mash. So we're just gonna flip some of these valves off and then dump in some grain.
And this is the dumping of the grain.
This is the mash paddle, so we use this to stir the grain around. I'm just going to mix what we have in there. Make sure there's no dough balls. It's all well blended. And then we'll add some more grain. We do this a few times, and then we'll let it rest.
Now Mark's pouring in some more oats and wheat into the mash tun. Yeah, just try and break up the lumps, spread it all out.
Oh, it smells great actually.
Yeah.
So what's happening is the oats and the barley oats, you said?
Yeah, right now are malted wheat and flaked oats.
Okay.
And then we're going to add in the barley after. So the oats and the wheat are a little trickier to blend in. And so I like to put them in first.
Right. And then you probably want to double check that there's no lumps that I've left.
Sure.
So the final bag has gone in.
Almost.
You still have three more bags.
One
so this
more,
is
one
the
more
second.
Bag, one more bag.
Wow. So that is that the equivalent of five bags then, or roughly?
Yeah, about five bags worth of malt. So about 100. You're at about 110 kilos actually.
Wow. So this is still the second last bag. As it gets thicker, the plot thickens. Alright, so the final bag has gone in. So you mix this up, and then what's the next step? What's the next step in the process?
So the next step is just a 1 hour rest where the grain will steep.
for an hour. The starch is contained in the malt. The temperature allows them to convert over to usable sugars for us. So 1 hour is the basic amount of time we mash grains for, and then what we'll do is we'll transfer the liquid over to the boil kettle after this.
All right, so once this mash has rested for an hour, we end up doing what's called a borlauf, which is like a grain rinse. So we're going to recirculate all the liquid through the grain again for about 10 minutes just to help to clarify the wort and also pulls out as much sugars as possible into solution. So we do that for about 10 minutes.
So is that where you use the drain in the bottom and then it goes back to that drain that I see at the top, or the spout at the top?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a valve underneath which will open, pump back into the top again. And the grain actually acts as its own filter, so catches all the, as much of the larger pieces of grain as possible. And then once that happens, then we're going to transfer the wort from the mash tun into the boil kettle while simultaneously hot water to rinse the grains again with straight water, which is called the sparge.
And that, in a nutshell, or maybe a grain shell, I don't know, bad dad joke. But in anyways, that in a nutshell is the beginning of the brewing process for One Hop Screaming. It's called a collaboration beer. It's done in collaboration with obviously Counterpoint Brewing, the mastermind behind it, the recipe, the brewmaster, all of the expertise, etc., and Stark Publishing. And basically, sometimes that's what a collaboration is. Sometimes it's two brewers who really know what they're doing. In other cases, it's somebody like me, a layperson, who just wants to be involved. And so dumping a bag of grain in, stirring up the mash, there you go. Now it's a collaboration brew. So collaboration beer, One Hop Screaming with Counterpoint and Stark Publishing. And this is an exciting first for me. I'm going to have cans I can purchase and give out to a whole bunch of my friends. It's going to be available. People can order it online. Yes, you go to counterpointbrewing.ca. There'll be a link down at the bottom. Go and check out Counterpoint. They will ship pretty much, I think, anywhere in Ontario. They may even ship across Canada. I'm pretty sure they can't ship across borders. There's legalities involved in moving alcohol across borders, but they do ship. So you can order the beer right from Counterpoint Brewing. They will send you some cans. You can even order the book and the beer. There's a special when you purchase them together. But why not have that great book to read and a great beer to sip while you're reading it? I'm doing the launch, as I mentioned, on October 2nd, 2024 at Counterpoint Brewing, where we're launching the beer and the book together. Going to be an exciting and fun-filled evening with lots of bookish peeps and bearish peeps there. And then I'm doing a whole bunch of other tours in October, book signings at various locations in Hamilton, Ottawa, Cambridge, Kitchener. And I am going to be doing a sort of a end of month pre-Halloween books, beers, and booze event at one of my favorite drinking spots, Arabella Beer Park in Kitchener, which is a phenomenal beer place. And the reason it's a phenomenal beer place is they have great beers from places like Counterpoint and so many other fantastic craft breweries that our province of Ontario is blessed with. But on October 29th, we'll be doing books, booze, and beers, or books, beers, and booze. I can't keep them all straight, but it's going to be another fun-filled evening. And again, Arabella Beer Park will have the book and will have the beer on tap. They're going to be tapping it that week of Halloween. It's going to be a spooky themed evening. And I am looking forward to, of course, trying out this great beer. I've already tried out the book, but having the book in hand, checking out the stories, sipping on a beer, and hanging out with some really cool people. I love the fact that Counterpoint Brewing is such a great community-minded organization, community-minded brewery. I love working with small businesses. The book that I printed and had to print, 300 copies of to get copies to the warehouse for distribution to make it available through, indie bookstores and chain bookstores, etc. I mean, I used M&T Printing, which again has been, I think they're what, 50 years old or more. It's been a family-owned business for the longest time. They do some amazing printing here in the Kitchener Waterloo area, so I get to collaborate. My small company, this one person operation of Stark Publishing, with a great brewery like Counterpoint, and of course with a great printer like M&T Printing. And yeah, I'm going to be doing some other collaborations. I know I talked to Dave at Wordsworth Books in Uptown Waterloo, and I know they're going to be carrying it. Jamie at Epic Books in Hamilton, I saw, has already placed an order, and there's some going there. I've talked to Little Ghost Books in Toronto about maybe doing some events in November, since October was booked up for both of us. But I'm going to be doing a Ottawa launch at the Spaniel's Tale in Hintonburg neighborhood of Ottawa on October 10th, doing stuff at the Coles Lime Ridge in Hamilton on Hamilton Mountain. I am doing the Indigo Cambridge here in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, and I can't even keep track. I will be at World Fantasy Con and will not have the beer with me, although I may take a few across the border to give to some of my American friends, but I'm going to definitely have some of the books with me. And I will, of course, be seeing some folks again when I return to Ottawa at the very end of the month, right after Halloween, when I'm one of the attending authors at CanCon. And I know Back of Phoenix Books in Toronto is carrying the book, and they will have one hand screaming there while I'll be doing a book signing with them on the Saturday. But I'm also that afternoon, earlier in that afternoon, I'll be at Perfect Books on Elgin Street, which is 900 meters from the hotel where CanCon is being held. And the last time I was at Perfect Books was when I was launching Creepy Capital from Dundurn. And so it'll be fun to return there. But that is, as I said, in a grain shell, that is what's going on with one hand screaming and one hop screaming. I hope you enjoyed this collaborative process. And of course, I'll be letting folks know how this works. And of course, likely be sharing lots of social media posts on how that beer tastes. Thanks for watching. Take care. You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, is written and performed by Kevin McLeod and was licensed at incomptet.com.